God's done his normal thing again. What do I always say? Every breach. He stole it. He's stolen it. It's all been in the worship and it's been in the what we've done. And well, I might as well just sit back down now. Really, it's done. It's,
Bruce,
in. Pardon, Bruce, yeah. No, so let me pray. Is that all right? Okay. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for you. Thank you. And I just pray to you, Father, keep me straight, knock down what needs knocking down, build up what needs building up, and keep me true. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing your word. It's amazing, and you're amazing. All for your glory. And honor. Amen. Well, recently, Lisa has been doing something. In fact, I'm really glad she's not here because she shouted at me for telling you, but she's been getting up really, really early in the morning, kind of like Andy Parr style early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. She's been going downstairs and she's been studying God's word. She's been praying. And if you want to talk to her about it, she'll tell you all about it. It's called something like Miracle Morning or something like that. But it's really, really kind of just thinking about God's word and meditating. And actually, I mean, I've seen massive changes in Lisa. It's been absolutely fabulous, and I would encourage you to do it. However, I haven't done it because I like my sleep, to be quite honest, and getting up at 5 o'clock. Well, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because she wakes me up and puts a light on and goes downstairs, whatever. But she's been really meditating on God's word, and that has made her ridiculously wise sometimes and say quite thoughtful things. Not she's normally very thoughtful. But she's really been meditating on God's word and thinking about things. And anyway, so we went this year to Devoted, it was called, which is the Christ Central version of Catalyst Festival. And it was fantastic. And halfway through that, Lisa had been praying and meditating. And she said, "Stephen, I've got a question for you." My husband's thinking, "Oh no, what question is it?" She said, "When is the best time to plant a tree?" And I kind of looked at her and thought, I have no idea. So like, no. When is the best time to plant a tree? Does anybody know when the best time to plant a tree?
No.
The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. Yeah, because then you have a tree. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When is the next best time to plant a tree? Now. So if you haven't planted, yes, if you haven't planted a tree 20 years ago, the best time to plant a tree is now. And she was specifically thinking about the youth, and about the young people that had been planted from this church. And actually, even with the cat lady coming, they were seeds that were planted from this church maybe 15, 20 years ago. But if you haven't planted that seed 20 years ago, when is the best time to plant a seed? Now, absolutely. And that was the wisdom. That's really, really stuck with me and kind of worked around my mind. At the moment, through various things, and again, particularly through these leaflets, delivering them, I feel like we're planting seeds, yeah? So seeds have been really, really, really on my thoughts and on my mind. And it got me thinking, what does Scripture say about seeds? So I started Bible Gateway, Google, etc. What did it say about seeds? So this morning, I'm going to share about what Scripture says about trees, and it's fascinating, and you know what, it's so linked in with the kingdom of God. It blew my mind how integral it is to the teaching and preaching of Jesus on the kingdom. So I'm going to start with Mark chapter 4, and it's a really famous one, is this one, you'll all know it. It's the parable of the sower, and I'm going to read it. "He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching, he said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came down, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100. Then Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. I'm so glad they did this. I'm so glad the disciples asked him what the parables were about in some cases. It was so helpful. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may never see, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables? The farmer sows the word. Some people like a seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky place, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100, 100 times what we're sowing. It's a really, really famous parable. You probably have heard this parable hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And actually, it's so famous, I actually remember at St. Wilfrid's School, it was the only parable we actually studied in RE. And we actually had to write an essay about Mark's Gospel and the parable of the sower. So it's really, really, really famous. Also, must be really, really important because it's in three of the four Gospels, the story, which makes it really, really important. But this is the first time in most of the Gospels that Jesus does a parable. It's one of the first parables, and then it's all about seeds. And he says this parable is showing us what the mysteries and the nature of the kingdom of God is and how it was going to come. When I was thinking about this parable, the first thing that makes it really, really interesting is in the Old Testament, before this parable, they believed the kingdom of God would have been coming in power. It would have been coming in force and power. So it was the kingdom of God would come and it would rock away the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, and they would basically be, it would come and be irresistible. The kingdom of God, when it was coming, it was power, fear, God was coming to judge the world. But what is really, really interesting about this parable is that it's saying the kingdom of God is coming and it is resistible. It's not coming in power in this parable, it's coming as seed. And you and we and people have a choice to receive the kingdom of God or not, which would be mind-blowing at the time. So the kingdom of God, this parable teaches us, comes not at this time with force and power and violence, but the kingdom of God with Jesus was coming with grace, with mercy, with love, and you have a choice, and people have a choice. The kingdom of God presently is not imposed on anybody. They have a choice. So the field is the world and the seed is God's word. Okay, and if you imagine these leaflets, some of these leaflets we're going to put through people's doors. And people are going to look at those leaflets and the devil is going to take the message of that leaflet away straight away. It's gone. Straight in the bin. But the next three types of situation of when seed is sown or where the seed is initially planted. Yeah? And it grows. So some people will get a leaflet and they might even come to church. Or they might receive it with joy. But being Christian is a bit inconvenient. Following God's word is a bit hard work. What will my friends think? So it doesn't grow. Or we might receive God's word and then the worries of life come in and take it away. It grows a bit, but then it gets swamped and we forget. And some, a leaflet might go in and it might go into good soil. And it might generate and bear fruit of 30, 60, 100. Are you excited for that one seed? Do you know what it means that 3/4 of the seeds that will be sown will not bear fruit? Yeah? The story of an evangelist, and he held a really, really big evangelical event. And he did it for 3 nights, and nobody, to his knowledge, was saved in those 3 nights. Apart from one person. Yeah. One person. And that one person went, and he started a ministry across the world. And thousands of people, he bought fruit, and more, 160,000. It only takes one. Most of the seed that we sow for the kingdom of God will bear no fruit. Are you okay with that? Got me thinking how it applied to me. Sitting here, listening to this sermon and how I am at church as well. I might listen to God's word. And this happens to me. I'm owning up. I'm going to own this. And somebody preaches or teaches God's word, or I read God's word, or God says something to me, and do you know what? It bounces straight off me. Has no effect. Satan takes it straight away. Gone. Or I might receive God's word, end of a brilliant sermon, fantastic, receive it with joy, great time of worship, woo, fantastic. I walk through the door, go home, and it's not received because the soil of my heart was shallow. Yeah. Or somebody preaches God's word, or I read God's word, or God says something to me, and you know what? I sit there and think, oh, that's lovely. What am I going to have for dinner? What's that issue at work that I need to deal with? Yeah, but that'll be happening now. Yeah. So what happens? What's the soil of your heart like? Or do we hear God's word and read God's word and accept God's word, and does it go and bear fruit for the kingdom, generating 30, 60, 100 expansion? Can you imagine if you just took one God's word and accepted it, what that can do in your life? Yeah? Which are we? Which are we? Jesus tells another parable in verse 26, and it's all about seed, and he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, and the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first a stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head, and as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. the kingdom of God grows in ways that we just do not know and we do not understand, and it will be growing at the moment. Every one of these leaflets, every word of God that you give to somebody or into a situation, you do not know what God will do with that. You do not know. And the kingdom of God grows through it. It's with God. You need to make the action. But every word of God, every leaflet, you don't know what God's doing with that leaflet or where it's gone. You don't. Do you know, most people who have been involved in my faith do not realise they've been involved. The most people who have been involved in me coming to Christ just wouldn't have the Scoobies that they've done it. Okay? Some would, but a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people fed into my life. And they probably don't even know who I am. And we do not know what God will do with our actions or our words or the seeds that we sow. Do you think Peter and Paul could have envisaged us sitting here this morning? Yeah? Or the worldwide church or the Chinese church? Yeah, they wouldn't have expected that, but that is what God does with his seed of God's word. It grows. There's a beautiful story by... Anybody read any Max Lucado? If you haven't, he's fabulous. Please read him. But there's a story of somebody who dies and he goes to heaven and they meet Jesus. And Jesus takes this person by the hand and he says, "You good... Well done, you good and faithful servant." And then he introduces him to a long line of people. And this guy says in the story, doesn't know who this long line of people are. But they introduce them one by one. And each of them said, "You know, you've impacted on my life. You sowed seed for the kingdom. And I just want to say thank you. When I get to heaven, I want Jesus to take me by the hand and say, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant.' And then I want to meet all the people that I hopefully have sowed so much seed for my life." Yeah? And hopefully, I will be introduced to some other people who've sowed seed into my life. Let's sow seed. You don't know what God does when you sow his seed of the kingdom. Another parable in Mark. And again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seed on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all of the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Do you know, the church was started by one Galilean carpenter and 12 fishermen and a few taxmen and a terrorist. And has grown to the largest group of people in the world. You cannot stop the growth of the kingdom of God. You cannot stop it. It's growing. It's growing in Blackburn now. It's growing in Lancashire. Do you know what? The churches in this country have been saying they should be dying out in Britain for years and years and years, but Christians are meeting at this time all over Britain, giving thanks to God and praise and giving him glory and building his kingdom. And that is happening throughout the world. You cannot stop the growth of the kingdom of God. It is like a mustard seed. And its branches have grown so large that nations invest in it. The laws are influenced by the church and Christianity in this country. Yeah? You cannot stop the kingdom of God. It is growing and you can't see it, but it is growing. Matthew 13, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came out and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weed also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvester, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and the disciples came to us, explained to us the parable of the field. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sown them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt in fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The kingdom is now, and you have a choice. Jesus came in grace and mercy and power, and it's up to people to either resist or accept. There is a day when Jesus is coming back in power and force, and he will be irresistible. The kingdom is now and not yet. Yeah? We are the good seed. We are not supposed to be separated from the world. We're supposed to be not of the world, but in the world. God didn't create his church to be separate, like the brethren church, or just talk to each other. God has created a people to be in the world. His kingdom is in the world. How many friends have we got that aren't Christian sometimes? We mustn't be outside the world. We need to be in the world. Do you know, we are here to rule and reign in hearts and minds, but there will be a time when God comes and rules and reigns this world, and he will rule in power and force. Luke 17, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Do you sometimes read bits of scripture, and particularly like gospel, think, what is he talking about? If there was a mulberry bush here, and I said, "Mulberry bush, chuck yourself into the sea," would that happen? Some of you, it's confusing me, in fairness. But actually, I think what Jesus is saying, who's ever read Adrian Plass? Books. Have you ever done that? And there's a silly story where he looks at a kind of safety pin, and in faith he tries to make it unfold. It's a very silly story. But faith is not like that, I don't believe. I don't believe that you just walk up to something and say, "Mountain move," or whatever, although God can do that. I think what Jesus is saying, that faith, like a mustard seed, grows, and it grows slowly. Yeah, it's not like that. My faith has been stretched and grows as more I depend on God. Particularly, actually, my faith grows with finances. Yeah, I am so convinced that God provides finances that I have absolute faith. And that has grown over the years. And maybe my faith needs to grow for healing. Yeah? But it won't come like that. My faith grows as I accept and I trust God more and more for bigger things. And eventually, I believe my faith will grow that I say to a mulberry tree, "Jump into the sea," and it does. Yeah? Do you want to stretch your faith? We don't have to ask for massive things, but let's stretch our faith and depend on God in the small day-to-day things. Do you know what? I think we walk in the Spirit, and we sing in the Spirit, we do various things in the Spirit, but actually the most important thing I think we do is walk in the Spirit, and we take one step, a bit like Andy Berry, where is he? I'll not make him walk again, but one step at a time, yeah, in faith, as we walk in the Spirit. And the moment that we stop walking in the Spirit, God can't do anything more for us. But he wants us to take one step at a time in faith, grow like a mustard seed. God might not want you to start an international, worldwide evangelical ministry, but he might want you to just trust him for something little in your life. Yeah? And your faith will grow like a mustard seed. And then we will have faith to say, mountain move, but it grows and it stretches like a mustard seed. John 12, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." Jesus says some really tough stuff, doesn't he? Some really tough stuff. And you say, if you love your life more than me, you'll probably lose it. For growth to come, you need to die to yourself and your life. That is really scary, isn't it? Really scary to be fruitful. But sometimes things in our lives need to die. Yeah, they need to die. And not only sin, sometimes things that are good need to die in our lives for there to be fruit and fruitfulness. How much are we willing to let things go for the expanse and growth of the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 3:5. "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants in whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each of his tasks. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been growing it. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters has one purpose and will each be rewarded according to their own labours. For we are workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." So, sowing seed. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God makes the kingdom grow. We've all got our part to play in sowing seed for the kingdom of God. Yeah? And we need to sow seeds and plant seeds, and others need to water seeds and build seeds. We've all got a part to play. We don't have to do it all. We're a people, we're a group with different gifts, different skills. Let's plant and water seeds. And it is God who will grow them. Evangelism. One of the things I learned last year is you do not have to take one person from one place to get him on his knees and make him repent and all those things to be a good Christian. You just sow seeds for the kingdom in the Lord. Blessed are the one who sows seeds. Blessed are those who harvest. Let's do both. Do you know what? I was thinking about seeds, and I don't even know a name, but I had a Sunday school teacher, and I must have been probably Jacob's age. And I vaguely remember her teaching me these Bible stories. Yeah, must have been 30 years ago. But she was planting seeds in my heart. Planting seeds in my years and years and years, and I don't even know a name. And then other people have watered those seeds. And again, other people have come to fruition. But God has grown that seed that she planted so many years ago. Bless her. Hope to meet her in glory and thank her. 1 Corinthians 3:35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come from? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are all also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies, but the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon the other. When you plant a seed, does it look the same as a tree when it grows? So how is a tree come from a tiny seed? I'm sure if the seed could think, he couldn't imagine himself being a tree, would you? We have earthly bodies, yeah? But we cannot imagine the heavenly bodies that we're going to get when we go into glory. We're going to get heavenly bodies. Betty, you're going to have a heavenly body. Jeanette, you're going to have a heavenly body when you go to glory. Irene, Paul, you're going to get a new body. New body. Tim, so you're going to have a new, glorious, heavenly body. And we can't even imagine it. And it will come from the seed. We can't imagine what it's going to be like in glory. And we're going to be raised in power. And this natural body will be raised into a spiritual body. The final one, and I'll shut up. Corinthians 2, chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you know, as a people, this church, we need to throw out as much seed as we can in a generous way. We need to be a generous, gracious people, throwing out seed. The more seed and God's kingdom and God's word and generously we give, the more we will receive. And that's not finances, that's good works and growth and building of the kingdom. We need to scatter seed abundantly. Abundantly. Who wants to scatter seed abundantly? Yeah? It's exciting, isn't it? Scatter seed abundantly. Generously. Graciously. Do you know, I can't think of one story in Scripture where it's gone well, where people have just maintained something or retreated. Andy might correct me on this, I don't know, but I can't think of one single story or event that's happened in Scripture where people have just stood there and done nothing and maintained or retreated. It always goes badly. It always ends up in wilderness, wandering. But you know, God is saying, the more seed we give generously, the more we sow, as we advance in sowing seed, he promises it will go well. That's a promise. He said that now he who supplies the seed, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. So when you're enriched, it's so you can be more generous and sow more seed. As we grow, it's not so we grow, it's so we sow more seed, more labourers, more workers for God's kingdom. for him to do what he can with, for his glory. I'm going to shut up. But what kind of soil is there in your heart? What kind of soil are you? Yeah? Do you know, we can plant and organise as much as we want, but it is completely down to the sovereignty of God, what he does with the seed that we sow. We need to let God do what he can with it. Do you know that the kingdom of God and the advance of the kingdom is unstoppable, like the growing of a mustard seed? It's unstoppable. Do we accept that we need to be in the world, not part of the world, but in the world, and there is going to be a day when Jesus comes in power with his kingdom and he will be irresistible, and that will be judgment day. What about our faith? Yeah, do we step by step grow our faith like a mustard seed growing and enlarging? Yeah. Are we willing to kill things and die to things that stops the growing of the advancement of the seed of the kingdom of God? We have an obligation to plant and to water, but God grows seed of the kingdom. Are you looking forward to your resurrection bodies?
Yeah.
They're going to be awesome. And always a church willing to be generous and gracious. That's not just in finances, but in forgiveness and graciousness and tolerance and mercy and to the poor and people who don't deserve things. In finances, doing scary things. The advancement of the kingdom. Because we need to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. I never know where to land these things. I'm not a right good finisher of preaching, but again, Lisa, in her wisdom, a morning this morning, she brought a scripture verse to me in a quiet time. And it's one little bit, and again, you've heard me go over this again and again and again and again, but Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, proclaim the captives will be released. Sowing those seeds. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it the day of God's anger against his enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of despair. This is the bit. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. I want you to stand up if you can stand up. Now, I want you to ask the question, in your life, do you want to be like God's great oak, sowing seeds for his kingdom? In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. The Lord has planted for this for his own glory. We're not here for any other reason apart from God's glory. And he's planted us. And do you want to be great oaks for the kingdom of God? I am going to show up now. I'm going to hand over to Pete. But I want to go so much seed for the kingdom of God. Are you excited? Yeah?